though Pakistani women can vote, serve as ambassadors to the United States, and even as prime minister, they, particularly the poor and powerless, also suffer under Islamic laws, or so-called Islamic laws, enacted by General Zia-ul-Haq in the past, but still enforced today. In Afghanistan, the Taliban, in the name of Islam, required women to wear the chador, forced professional women to give up their jobs, and prohibited girls from attending school. Such contradictions are also evident in the issue of veiling. If many associate the veil with the oppression of women, others say veiling preserves women's dignity, freedom, and modesty. The Islamic style of dress is known by many names: hijab, burqa, chador. Veiling ranges from wearing a headscarf to covering the entire body and face. A multitude of styles, colors, and fabrics are worn by Muslim women in countries, extending from Morocco to Iran to Malaysia to Europe and the United States, and because of diverse customs and interpretations of the Quranic verses. Veiling of women did not become widespread in early Islam until three or four generations after the death of Muhammad. Veiling was originally a sign of honor and distinction, not oppression. During Muhammad's time, Muhammad's wives and upper-class women wore the veil as a symbol of their status. Generations later, Muslim women adopted the practice more widely. They were influenced by upper and middle-class Persian and Byzantine women who wore the veil as a sign of their rank to separate themselves, not from men, but from the lower classes. The mingling of all classes at prayer and in the marketplace encouraged use of the veil among urban Muslim women. Since the 1970s, a significant number of modern women from Cairo to Jakarta have turned or returned to wearing Islamic dress. Often this is a voluntary movement led by young, urban, middle-class women who are well-educated and work in every sector of society. And ironically, they have often been the daughters of women a generation before who, as it were, threw off the veil in order to turn to and wear Western dress. In many cases, the process is distinctly modern, with new fashions and styles encompassing new understandings of the status and role of women, fashions that are sold in boutiques. Such women are not passive victims of male-imposed mores, but active agents for change. Some who wear Islamic dress believe that they are able to function as active, self-directed, independent subjects, commanding respect, acknowledged and treated as persons, rather than sex objects. Western and Muslim critics of Islamic dress, on the other hand, question those who say it is their free choice to wear the veil. They see such women as under the sway of an oppressive patriarchal culture, or is just submitting to the dictates of their religion or the particular brand of religion taught in their country or community. They also say that after seeing the hijab used to control and segregate women, as in Afghanistan under the Taliban, the rest of the world perceives the veil as a symbol of conformity and confinement that reflects on any women who wear it. Some Muslims, however, contend that Western women only believe that they are free. They do not see how their culture exploits them when they choose to spend their countless hours on their appearance, wear uncomfortable skin-tight clothes and dangerous high-heeled shoes, and allow themselves to be displayed as sexual objects to sell cars, shaving cream, and beer. These Muslims say that Westerners condemn the veil because they themselves are not free to choose. Women who wear the scarf complain that instead of asking what the hijab means to them, people simply assume that veiled women are oppressed. This assumption, they say, oppresses Muslim women more than any manner of dress ever could. Even if a woman wearing the veil is strong and intelligent, people who are reluctant to get to know or invite her to participate in activities automatically discount her value. They point out that women of many other cultures and religions, Russian women, Hindu women, Jewish women, Greek women, Catholic nuns, have worn head coverings. They ask why these women are not viewed as oppressed. If opponents assume that women of other cultures who cover their heads are liberated, why can't they imagine freedom for Muslim women who wear a veil? Muslim women often talk about what the hijab symbolizes to them: religious devotion, discipline, reflection, respect, freedom, and modernity, being valued for who they are rather than what they look like. Islamic dress is also used as a sign of protest and liberation. It has developed political overtones becoming a source of national pride and resistance to Western cultural and political dominance and authoritarian regimes. It existed from the Algerian independence movement in the 60s to the Iranian Revolution 1978-79 and beyond.